Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Paul Gann, alongside Jeremy Espy. And for the next hour, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, all your beliefs. And, of course, you will get a heavy dose of our opinion. And if you have an opinion, the number to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgann. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgann. And you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gant@gmail.com. That's goforit.gant@gmail.com. And you can follow the show on Twitter at goforitgant. That's goforitgant. Jeremy?
Paul?
How are you?
Man, I know we got a busy show, but I think we really should spend a little bit of time on both of our struggles. Mine, you know, is probably a little bit deeper than yours, but should be an interesting season. Certainly, if Kevin Cobb can't play, maybe I'm going to get out of this alive.
Well, I mean, I kind of thought the bet was, healthy or not healthy, but I mean,
I don't think we specified that.
Maybe I'm wrong, but. My thing is with Kevin Cobb, obviously, shaky first half for him. And it didn't look good for the guy. And and Donovan wasn't all that sharp himself against the Cowboys. But when I look at Kevin Cobb and I see that situation, heck, Kevin Cobb may not even be starting this whole season. But the way I look at that whole situation with Vick and Cobb, and Michael Vick will be making his first start since 2006, and we will be joined by Philly sports anchor Beasley Reese, who will give us the lowdown on that situation, and also Jason Cole from Yahoo Sports, who will also give us the lowdown, give us the national perspective of what's going on around the league. But if I look at the whole Vick and Cobb situation, the way I look at it in a way, my opinion of it is, I don't think Michael Vick should be the starter if Kevin Cobb is healthy, and I say this for this reason. If you look at the Eagles, the way they're presently constructed, if the Eagles put Michael Vick in the starting lineup, the question you have to ask yourself, does that make this team a Super Bowl contender? Does that make this team even a playoff team? I mean, if you put Michael Vick in, how much does it matter is my whole point. How much does it matter in terms of making this team better? Will this team be better? Yes. But will they be noticeably better? Will they be a playoff team? Are they a Super Bowl contender? No, I don't think so. So the way I see it is, if Kevin Cobb is healthy.
No, wait, Paul. I mean, no, let's
Cobb
be honest. Paul, but wait. You're not going to say. I mean, I'm not these bandwagon guys. I think Vic, you got to remember, Michael Vick took Atlanta to the top of the charts there. And I think with this Eagles team, with Michael Vick, they have a very good chance of being a playoff team. Are they going to contend for anything relevant other than a playoff spot? No, absolutely not. But I think I'm surprised to hear you say you don't think that putting Vick in at right now gives them at least the chance to hunt for a playoff spot.
It makes, but my thing is, if you look at that team, it's a young football team, and I'll say this: defensively, they looked okay last week. And
Defensively, they looked okay last week against
the Packers, which is a juggernaut on the offense.
Defensively,
they were competitive. They weren't competitive.
They weren't competitive. The Packers. Come on, the Packers really played poorly.
Defensively, they were competitive.
I think that you.
And,
okay.
They, Part of that was the Eagles' defense that caused Aaron Rodgers to struggle a little bit.
Come on.
I thought defensively they played okay. They played okay defensively. Now, in terms of Michael Vick and him coming into this lineup and making this team a Super Bowl contending team, maybe a playoff team at best. But in terms of a Super Bowl contending team, no. And if you're going to do that, you're in some respect just giving up on this Kevin Cobb experiment, and you were better off keeping Donovan McNabb
I said it in the preseason. I said it in the off season when they traded McNabb. I couldn't agree more. I think keeping Vick was a good move for the Eagles. I think Michael Vick for at least the bottom line is it makes him relevant. He's in the news a lot, and certainly his performance last week has definitively kept them relevant in probably what was the worst offensive showing in week one, which was the Eagles. I mean, sans Michael Vick's performance, Paul, they looked horrible.
Well, in terms of the way they looked offensively, they didn't look good at all. And if you would have kept Kevin Cobb in there, if you look at some of the plays that Vick made, some of those runs, Kevin Cobb probably would not have been able to get out of those situations. It would probably ended up in a sack. And Vick turned them into big plays. But I just think right now you have to see what you have here in Kevin Cobb. You invested some money into the guy as well. You gave the guy $12 million. So,
They invested their short-run future in him. And that, I mean, the argument's going to be made, and that some people are going to say, well, keeping Michael or keeping Tom McNabb even for this year based on last year's offense and the fact that they got Stuart Bradley back, and in theory the defense, especially with the moves they made in the offseason, was a lot more on paper. It was going to project to be better. And certainly the argument would have been made after week one, anybody is going to be better than Kevin Cobb. But, if they don't stick with Michael Vick, and I think Andy Reid's doing the right thing here. I mean, after the medical snafus, which is a whole other subject, but, certainly they had to maybe keep him out for those reasons. But you have to really go out there and make it clearly known. And he did right after a loss. And he said, Kevin Cobb is the quarterback. They have to either – he has to sink or swim. I mean, hopefully, he does well. I think the question coming out of week one, and Paul, we talked about this in the offseason, in the preseason, and I thought this wasn't going to be an issue, which was, was he going to be able to be an NFL quarterback? I thought even though it was limited action, and I also thought that, Andy Reid knows how to pick quarterbacks, that he wasn't going to come out and play that poorly. I mean, he looked like a dud. And, I mean, he was off, and the offensive line wasn't that bad. And my fear now is, certainly he can come back, but how is Kevin Cobb, in certain regards, in a city like Philadelphia, which loves to eat you alive, sitting out this week, if Michael Vick and they're playing Detroit, which is not going to be a difficult team, if Michael Vick plays well, how's this going to vote for Kevin Cobb? Is this injury?
If I'm Andy Reid, I'm almost hoping for Michael to have a okay game and your team get the victory. Because if Michael Vick goes out and duplicates what he did last week, and plays the way he played last week, you got a bona fide and a definite quarterback controversy on your hands. And how can you go to your team? Most of them young, but some veterans on there. How can you go to that team and tell them, look, we're going back to Kevin Cobb? You can't do it.
Well, you have to do it. But the problem is, this is Philadelphia, and that's where I think if it was a lot of other cities outside of me in New York. But in this city, with the reporters and especially the fan base, I don't disagree with you. I think it will be, it's going to be hard. The reporters, the fans are not going to welcome Cobb, especially if Vic goes out and Vic does, you know, Vic, they almost won that game. I mean, or they almost tied that game. Had they tied and even lost, or certainly won that game, there was the controversy, because in the two quarters, you know, Cobb played, it was sinful.
Well, the two quarters that he played was not good football, and then, you know, let's not kid ourselves there and say otherwise. He just looked. I mean, let's be honest. You're a young quarterback. This is his third start ever. This is third start ever. So when you're a young quarterback in the NFL, it just don't happen overnight. Unless you're a Dan Marino, it doesn't happen overnight. It just doesn't. This is an ongoing process, and there's going to be struggles. But my point is, this team is obviously a young team, and they say retool. Some could say they rebuilt. And so my thing is, with the young talent that you have and the money that you invested in Kevin Cobb, and you can make your argument that they invested a lot of money into Mike Vick as well, but the money that they invested in Kevin Cobb, and since this team, and ultimately it comes down to winning Super Bowls, and since this team has no shot of winning the Super Bowl with Mike Vick, Kevin Cobb in the lineup, either or, since they have no shot of winning the Super Bowl, it is my opinion, since you've traded away your franchise quarterback in Donovan McNabb, it is my opinion that you ride this horse, and this horse is Kevin Cobb. You got to ride it.
No, I mean, well, yeah, it's interesting. It's only week one, and certainly he can project to do a lot more, but this is not, I think, the way the Eagles want to certainly start the season with Kevin Cobb. A loss could have been a loss, but the fact that he goes out and does, I didn't see him do one thing right other than hand the football off. And that's just unacceptable. I think coming out of the two or three games they had from the prior season, you expect him to come out and know the game. And I saw a guy out there really who looked like a rookie. And, you know, he's not a rookie. And he knew this going into the season. I mean, I think the Eagles, too, really, for Cobb, my concern is you know, now what are they going to do? Because they're going to have to start over from scratch. And that's why I think I agree with you. They have to go 16 games with Cobb until basically the point of a release. I think you play this totally through, because you got to start over from scratch. There is no point in week four or week five if they're 3-2 or 2-3 and it's just been, you know, they're shuffling quarterbacks, or maybe their defense won them two games and they want to try to make a playoff run. That's just not the way to go. Go ahead.
You can also make the argument, and a legitimate argument about this whole situation is that, okay, Michael Vick is 30 years old. He missed 2 years of football, 2 years of not getting hit, 2 years of not taking the pounding. And you can say, essentially, in football years, he could be 28 years old.
We talked about it, and I agree. But Paul, we talked about it in the offseason. This is my – this is – yeah.
Let me play this out then. So if you have a 28-year-old quarterback, you can make the argument that you could ride this 28-year-old quarterback – 28 years old in football years. He's 30 years old in actual. But you could make the argument that you could ride this guy and kind of build your team around him. Say what you will about this guy. He has proven that he can lead a team at least to the NFC title game. He has proven that. And say what you want about the guy, but he has proven that. And you got to give him credit for that. We are now being joined by Yahoo's NFL sports writer, Jason Cole. Jason?
Yes.
How are you, sir? You're on with Paul Gannon and Jeremy Espy.
Good to see you. What's going on?
How are you, sir?
I'm great. Go ahead.
Now, let's get started. Now, Michael Vick is getting his first start since 2006 after Kevin Cobb was ruled out by the Eagles because of his concussion. What is the buzz around the league about Vic after his impressive performance against the Packers?
Well, I think that people were not expecting Michael to look as smooth as he did in that game, and I think that he was pretty impressive given the amount of time that he's gotten in practice and given how he's played during some preseason games. So I think that some people were pleasantly surprised by that, which, you know, has fed the talk of a quarterback controversy at a time when I think most people thought, you know, there's no question this is Kevin Cobb's job to have for the long term. Now people all of a sudden are saying, hey, is Michael Vick the guy? Now, I caution that by saying I don't think that Michael Vick is an Andy Reid type of player. And, you know, Andy likes things handled in a very specific way, following, you know, almost didactic. And, you know, I think that Michael is a little bit too much of a freelancer for Andy Reid's taste. So I think it's going to be a really difficult one for Andy Reid to get his arms around, leaving Michael Vick as his quarterback full time.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, Paul, he did that. I mean, he did that with coming into the league. That was Donovan McNabb. I mean, everyone always remembers the Syracuse play, I think, that really put him on the map. I think the only question I think Andy Reid has here with Michael Vick is not that, but can he turn Michael Vick into a quarterback instead of the guy that he has been his entire career, which is he's a playmaker. He's not a quarterback.
Well, that's true. The problem is, I think, was Michael 30-whatever he is, 31, 32, something like that. I mean, you know, Michael is what he is. You're not going to change the way he's played, and you're not going to make him a guy who, in the middle of the week, sits there and follows the discipline plan. You're either going to make Michael Vick work out as a playmaker, or you're going to sit him on the bench. It's really, there's no in between. And that's why I think Andy Reid, you know, I just don't see this being a long-term solution for Andy Reid. I don't think this is the direction that he wants to go.
And so now, Jason, we move to Minnesota now, and you wrote about the divide between Brett Favre and Brad Childress back in August. Now, with Sidney Rice out and Brett Favre struggling with that ankle and Percy Harvin being a game-time decision tomorrow, is there a possibility that this team and Brett Favre will take a step back this year?
Well, I think there's no question they're going to take a step back. I think it would have been difficult for them to repeat what they did, you know, last year. And we're talking about Brett Favre having the best statistical season of his entire career. And
right. At
a guy at age 40, going on 41, you expect him to repeat that? I just don't think that that's possible. Now, can he be good enough that they're going to be a playoff team and they can make a run? Certainly. And they have enough weapons, even without Sidney Rice. If they can get Harvin healthy, and I think that they're eventually going to be the team that makes the trade for Vincent Jackson once this week gets by. If any team is going to make a trade for Vincent Jackson, it's going to be Minnesota. So I think if they get Vincent Jackson in, and they, you know, got Shanko there, you have Bernard Berrien, who's a really good third option as a wide receiver, and obviously Adrian Peterson. If you combine that group, I think they're talking about a team that offensively can win 10, 11 games. The defense is good enough. Even if they take a step back, they're still a playoff team.
Now, the whole situation with Favre and Childress, is things a lot better there, or is it kind of still the same thing from what you're hearing?
It's pretty much the same from everything I'm told. I don't think there's a whole significant difference there, and they're just going to make it work and make it livable, because I just don't think that these are two people who know how to change. They are what they are,
right. And
they'll just live through it, and Brett's going to say, look, it's my last year in the league. This is not a long-term deal. I'm not going to be, you know, Brad Childress is not going to be my coach for the rest of my career. You know, I'll live through it. So that's why I don't think Favre's going to change, and I think that Brad Childress is a guy who's just kind of set in his ways.
He's doing
things a certain way, and he's not going to break out of that mold.
One of the things Paul and I speak about, we were talking about in the preseason too, was the argument of, was this a good move? I mean, they were forced into this. Everyone knows that. Coming out of last season, Brett Favre, you know, had the right of first refusal. But if this season is going to be a step back, and Paul and I talked about that on previous shows, hearing you say that, to me, if I'm the Vikings, I have to look at this and say, this was a really bad move for us, because it's another year of pounding on Adrian Peterson's body, and another year where we're not really going to get to where we have to go.
Well, I mean, but if you think, look, their best chance to win a Super Bowl is with Brett Favre as quarterback. You have a very small window with that team. That includes Adrian Peterson, okay? I mean, this is a guy who's going to have a lot of wear and tear on his body after 4 or 5 years. You're going to need to take advantage of him when he's at his healthiest point. So, to me, if you think you have good enough weapons at tight end, wide receiver, running back, defensive line, all those things, you re-sign Brett Favre and you take your chance because this is a one-year – like, this is a one-year-at-a-time proposition. Throw on top of that, this is a team that's trying to get a new stadium. They're trying to get Minnesota excited about the Vikings. The way you do that is by winning. And, you know, Tavares Jackson is not going to be the guy who can take you to the promised land. At least that's not the belief of the coaching staff. So to me, you have to have Brett Favre there. Is it going to work? I mean, in all likelihood, the answer is no. But you got the NFC Championship game and last year, and if not for your own turnovers, if you hadn't committed 5 turnovers, you'd probably be in the Super Bowl, and there's probably a decent bet that you would have won the Super Bowl. So I think you do your best to try and recreate that and don't play conservatively. You go ahead and roll the dice with it.
Now, you talked about Vincent Jackson and that whole situation, and I looked at the Chargers this past week and a team that lost to the Chiefs. And if you look at the Chargers right now, how much do they miss Vincent Jackson and Marcus McNeil?
Well, I think that they missed Vincent Jackson a lot. Marcus McNeil, you know, they were okay. I think that eventually the Kansas City changed the way it was playing defense and got more aggressive defensively as the game wore on because they realized that they weren't going to get hurt by the Chargers' passing attack. Now, that said, I know there was, you know, Legadu Nene had a 59-yarder. That was a busted coverage. That wasn't because this guy just plain beat their defenders. And they had, you know, one big play by Antonio Gates. But, again, that was a busted coverage. Whenever they stuck to their assignments, they were okay, and they took stuff away, and they got better as the game wore on. And so really missing Vincent Jackson, I think, was huge. Now, he wasn't going to play in that game anyways, whether he had signed with the Chargers or not, because he's on suspension for the violation of the substance abuse program.
Right.
But all of that said, if you project down the line what the Chargers are going to become, excuse me, sorry about that. If you project the Chargers, you know, I project trouble. I don't like the way they're going. I think Ryan Mathis is going to be a good player, and I think they're going to be all right. But you have to have explosive people in the passing game, and that's what the NFL is built on right now. It's built on big plays, explosive plays in the passing game. And that's what Vincent Jackson provided.
Now, I want to move on to the Jets also for a second now. Joe Namath came out and said that he believed that the whole Hard Knocks thing was a mistake. Looking back on how they played against the Ravens this past week, granted, I thought a lot of that was the inability of Mark Sanchez to make a play. But if you look at it, do you think Hard Knocks may have been a mistake for this Jets team?
Well, I don't think Hard Knocks really works for anybody. I think it's a distraction, you know, that you don't really need to have on a week-to-week basis. I think that there's a subtle effect that it had on Mark Sanchez, which is, you know, here's a guy who I don't think he could, you know, allow himself to be himself during games. And, not during practice, during meetings, because the camera is always on him. And I think that hurt his progression. In fact, you know, didn't allow him to accept some of the coaching that was going on. I think he tuned himself out a lot of the time. And I was really disturbed by the approach that was taken with Sanchez, by Sanchez, you know, in every regard. So I think that was the bigger mistake. You know, the trash talking, all that kind of stuff. Look, Rex Ryan's going to talk enough trash with or without Hard Knocks to post bulletin board material. So that, to me, is a non-factor. But the fact that you had Mark Sanchez basically, you know, under a microscope like that, to me, hurt him.
Mm-hmm.
The big thing and the big knock on Sanchez coming into the season and through the show and through the preseason and the first game is that he's really not going to be their quarterback that's going to propel that team to win, and it in the, you know, the first game was a complete embarrassment.
Well, I mean, look, they're expecting him to eventually become a great quarterback. That's why they took him with the number 5 overall pick. They are expecting that he will become a quarterback who can propel the Jets to becoming a winner. But remember this. He only started 16 games in college.
Right.
I think that last year, a lot of the time, early in the season, he got by because people hadn't figured him out. They didn't know what to expect out of him. And I don't think that he realized how hard this transition was going to be. I think if he knew how hard the transition was going to be, he would have stayed and played another year of college, which is what I think he should have done, and gotten his feet wet there rather than getting his feet on the NFL level. So, you know, you're going to have growing pains with a guy like Mark Sanchez, and you have to stick with him. Give him a certain amount of a mulligan because he's playing against a great Baltimore defense when it's healthy. At the same time, it's disturbing when he is not attacking downfield or not looking to attack downfield. That is very, very troubling for any quarterback because you have to want to go downfield. You have to want to attack the opposing team and then take the dump-off pass as your sort of last alternative.
Now, the Jets actually played the Patriots this week, and the Patriots were very impressive coming off their victory against the Cincinnati Bengals. I believe that the Patriots are the best team in that division. What's the talk around the league about the AFC East and whether or not the Patriots are the best team in that division?
Well, I think everybody would say if you're going to rank teams, you usually rank them in order of who has the best quarterback, especially now.
Right.
There's no question. The Patriots have the best quarterback. Okay. You take the other three guys combined, and they're not as good as Tom Brady. All right? That's just the way it is. So you give them,
sure.
You give them that right from the start. You grant that. The problem with the Patriots is where are they defensively in making the transition from the Vrabel-Brewski days to what they have now with, you know, Jerod Mayo running the show, Vince Wilfork more of a factor. I mean, exactly where in that transition are they? Are they becoming a good defensive team, or are they still a team that's driven by its offense that will put the defense in good situations where – it can cover its liabilities. Last year, the offense was not good enough to cover the defensive liabilities. The defense got exposed. It was terrible at times. And that forced, you know, certain situations, like the 4th-and-2 call was forced because Bill Belichick had no trust in his defense. Eventually, mm-hmm. They have to become good. I'm not sure how good they are. But, yeah, if you're going to rank the teams, you know, the Patriots are probably, they have the pedigree. But I think a lot of people think the Jets have enough at other places to overcome the pedigree issue.
Now we're talking to Jason Cole, sports writer, NFL sports writer, Yahoo Sports. Now, Jason, so many injuries this past week. Yeah, Chris Jenkins out for the year, ACL. Bob Sanders possibly out for the year with his bicep. Matthew Stafford's going to miss, who may miss significant time with his shoulder. And there's been talk about an 18-game schedule. In reality, how reasonable, judging by all these injuries, and we're talking just week one, how reasonable is an 18-game schedule?
I don't know. How much reasonability is $1 billion by?
That's true.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
I mean, it's going to happen. It's definitely going to happen.
That's all it is, baby. It's all about, you know, $1 billion, you know, at least, okay? At least, okay? Maybe two, okay? That's what two more games are worth.
One of the things is, I mean, how does the, you know, you look at other sports when they do have longer schedules. I mean, there is a 53-man roster, but the glaring weakness in the NFL, I think, in the last 5 years is the talent pool, and a lot of it is due to free agency. But you know, there are very few rosters that, you know, where you look at and you say, the roster, they're deep. And how can the NFL add two more games and sustain, you know, the level of play and suffer through these injuries?
$2 billion.
Well, I mean, we can't argue with your answer.
$2 billion.
You really can't argue with it,
buddy. You can't argue with that. Maybe it's $2 billion. It's That, we can answer a lot of questions with that much money. I don't,
that's
you know,
true.
I mean,
very
look,
true.
I mean, look, you guys can be as logical as you want, and the players can, you know, gripe about all they want, and this, and that, and all that. But it's about money, okay? It's just about the money. That's all it is. And the players are just going to have to deal with the fact that in order for the NFL to grow, they're going to have to play. Now, the flip side of this is if players are smart, they sit there and say, fine, you want to do two more games and subject it to injury and all this other stuff, fine. We'll do this. But we want a free agency after 3 years. We want, you know,
right. Credited
seasons. We want better medical coverage. We want, you know, we want real rules that deal with concussions. We want, I mean, all these things that you can talk about, all right, that you can take care of, right? Those are all reasonable. But like I said,
right. A
lot of problems get solved with anywhere from $1 billion to $2 billion. A lot of problems get solved that way. And
that's all it's about.
We will solve your problems with that $1 billion. It will be, you know, everything will be cool.
Now, Jason, we'll leave you with this. The Lions, Calvin Johnson made what seemed to be a game-winning touchdown last week. And
the catch.
Common sense tells you that it was a touchdown. The rule tells you otherwise. Do you think there will be some type of rule change there?
I think that there's probably enough groundswell by the coaches to go to the general managers and the front office people and say, look, we have to have a better rule. We have to find a way to say, this guy made a football move. He was in possession. He was in control. He took the ball 7 feet. You know, this should have been overturned. Now, there's a difference between that play and the juggle. You know, put the feet down. Your body's not in complete control. You hit the ground. The ball squirts out. That's not a catch. The Lewis Murphy play from last year, you know, if you're going to follow the rule, it's not a catch. There's a Chris Chambers play against the New York Jets 1 year when he was with the Dolphins. Same kind of thing. He, you know, got the feet down, had the ball there, hit the ground, ball squirted out. Okay?
Right.
That was a tough one. It was a tough one. There are a lot more bang-bang plays here. Calvin Johnson was not a bang-bang play. It was it was very clearly he had possession, took a full step, took another full step, went to brace himself with his hand and the ball in his hand, and the ball came out. That's
right.
You know, you got to find a way for that play to be a catch. I don't know how you do it. It's tough to write, but you got to find a way.
And hopefully, common sense will rule there. And maybe with that $2 billion they may be getting from the 18 game schedule, they can figure it out.
If they want me to write the rule, I'll just take 1% of that $2 billion, and we'll be all good. I work for very, very small amounts of money. So I can write that rule with 1%. No problem.
Jason, we thank you for stopping by here, sir. Jason Cole, Yahoo Sports NFL writer. You can catch his work at yahoosports.com. Jason, thank you for coming on. We'd love to have you on again, sir, in the future.
Anytime. Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right, take care. Jason Cole. Good insight there from Jason, and $2 billion is the reason essentially for the 18-game schedule. We all knew that comes down to money, and it's very obvious that it comes down to money. But
it's a shame, you know. Not just the money, but one of the bigger comments is this whole Brett Favre issue, and here again, I mean, I still say, Paul, and I mean, my argument all along has been that Favre, we said it from day one, right after the season, this was not going to be a good season for the Vikings. And I mean, I think this pipe dream that they're going to have a chance to go to the Super Bowl died when they didn't go to the Super Bowl last season. And so this season for them, I think they're going to take more of a step back by wasting another year of the entire team's future than a lot of people are willing to believe today. I think at the end of this season, and you see maybe what comes out of it, then you'll see more people saying, you know what, they probably shouldn't have done this. Because, maybe they finished 9-7, maybe they went to the playoffs, even with Brett Favre,
But the bottom line is, you know, now look at what look at where this team is. Or if they finish 8-8, or they do have a really bad season, or they have a big injury, like if you know Peterson tears up his knee, what happens then?
Well,
arguably, that's the end of his career. I mean, at this point, where he is as a player.
But like Jason said, they are trying to get a new stadium. And in a lot of ways, to get a new stadium, you need a good product out there. Not all the time, but you need a decent product out there.
And I don't see this. I refuse to think this is a good product. I think, you know, you can only fool fans so long, Paul.
But if Brett Favre plays like he did last year, which I don't think he will, because last year was one of those special seasons, and the best season of his career, and he had it at the age of 40. So, like, if you look at it and you think about things, the way I see it is that you had to do it. He was the guy you needed to go with because he was the guy who brought you there, and I don't think Tavares Jackson would get you there. I don't think Sage Rosenfeld would have got you there. So I think it was a move that they had to make and something they had to do. But I will say this. I don't think it'll be enough to get them back to where they want to be and where they want to go, and that's to the Super Bowl. The number's called 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. And you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgant. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgant. And you can send email messages to the show at goforward.gant@gmail.com. That's goforward.gant@gmail.com. We're now being joined by Philly sports anchor and former NFL star, Beasley Reese. Beasley, you're on with Jeremy and Paul. How are you, sir?
Hey, fellow Caesar, great. How's it going today?
Doing well.
That's awesome. I'm on the 17th hole in a real tight match. So hit me with your main question, Paul, because you're my man, and then I got to run. What's up?
All right, we'll hit you hard and fast. Now, Beasley, Michael Vick, he had an amazing performance, 175 yards passing, another 100 yards rushing. How impressed were you by his performance?
Everybody was impressed. I mean, this city is overwhelmingly against him in many respects because of the, the controversy and the imprisonment and the dog fighting. But they say that, and then they talk about how electric he was in that uniform. I mean, it looks like he's got his speed back. He threw a couple of touchdowns. He had a scramble that led to the first field goal. In fact, he accounted for all of the Eagles' scores. So this guy was just on. Hold on one second. They're trying to take my money.
Don't let him, Beasley.
Yeah, these boys are yelling presses, and I'm nodding. You boys, if you cost me some money, Paul, I'm going to call you.
I'm trying not to cost you any money. You got a lot of it, so it shouldn't be a problem.
All right, he just hooked it left. Don't worry about it.
Let's look at this. Beasley, let me ask you this. And Paul and I were talking about in the beginning of the show. Honestly, for the Eagles, and this is hard and fast, what kind of mistake would it be to believe that Michael Vick is the future of this organization?
Well, I don't know that it would be a mistake. I think what they what
wow.
They, first of all, you have to know that he's going to be a better quarterback than Kevin Cobb at this point.
Wow.
Three-time Pro Bowler. I mean, he's a three-time Pro Bowler, former MVP candidate. They made him the highest-paid player in the National Football League, not because he's a charity, but because he has tremendous talent. And he has all of those physical skills back. But I don't believe they want him to be the starting quarterback because their fan base really doesn't. I think Kevin Cobb is going to be the starter, but they're going to play him probably 20 plays a game in every way they can. They want to get the ball to Michael Vick and DeSean Jackson. And, the problem is the reason they traded Donovan is Donovan would not go along with that. It would have been a major problem if Donovan was in and out of the lineup 50 offensive plays in a game. Kevin Cobb doesn't have the resume to complain. You know, they gave him $12 million guaranteed. They made him a rich man forever. And so he's going to accept the fact that he's got to share it with Michael Vick until they trade him or do something else. So that basically that's the bottom line of what's happened here.
Now, crazy as it sounds, if you're Andy Reid, do you almost want to win tomorrow and have Michael Vick have a so-so performance?
I don't think that's true. They love Michael Vick. They love him. They are enamored with his talent. And I expect Michael Vick to be tremendous tomorrow.
But Beasley, can the Eagles withstand, you know, a quarterback controversy from the media? I mean, the fans may love Cobb, but the media wants to make money, and they need the controversy, and here it is.
That's not what's being written, boys. What's being written here is this guy looks like he's got his speed back, and that he was a difference maker in the game, and that he has his skills back, and they are one. Although Andy nips it in the bud immediately and says Kevin Cobb is our starter, and Kevin will be the starter, but Michael Vick will play 20 plus plays every game. And I think the fans are going to be okay with it, too, because they see it as a slow development of a young quarterback, a smart way to go, until they trade Michael Vick for some type of, tremendous asset, a number one, number two, number three draft choice, or a player that they need. All right, boys, I'm on the T-Box, and you guys are looking at me.
All right.
Yeah, I got to fly, guys. But
take care of
everything, and give me a call anytime.
All right, thank you, sir.
All right, now.
All right.
Can't mess with his money, Paul. Can't mess with his money.
Yeah, but he's on the golf course trying to make a little money. But he made his point, and to his point,
shocked. I have to admit, Paul, he shocked me. I mean, I think
I would agree with one thing here. What he's saying, if you look at it today, Michael Vick is a better quarterback than Kevin Cobb. You look at it today.
Well, Michael Vick will always be a better overall. I mean, I don't like to use the term quarterback when it comes to Michael Vick, because that's the position he plays, but he probably wasn't a quarterback in Atlanta.
That's not fair to say, because this is a guy, a three-time Pro Bowler as a quarterback, and also a guy who led his team to a couple playoff performances. And got them to the NFC title game. They ran into the Eagles, actually.
I'm not going to disagree with you. I think that there is no question, you know, when it comes down to it, it doesn't matter how much practice or how many years you go. When you're going to compare Kevin Cobb to a guy like Michael Vick, who's already really had a tremendous, like you said, a tremendous career, we're not going to really be able to fairly compare. I think where I would go or an issue, I guess, that I'll hold on to, if I'm going to look at this, is in regards to Michael Vick. Is I know that when we just said this earlier, and Beasley is trying to say, you know, he's going to project to be a better quarterback, but can he and Andy Reid really play 50, 40 plays a game without another quarterback coming in to actually throw the ball? Because Vick, when the pocket breaks down, and he did it in his first game, you know, of the season, now he didn't look to pass; he looked right to run, and that is not the Andy Reid offense, Paul.
But you got to look at also. Let's look at some other plays that he made. There was one play he stood in that pocket. He stood in that pocket a couple times and took the hit and made the throw. And if you also look at a few of those throws he made. Look at, how about that throw to Brett Celek? A beautiful throw. I mean, that was a perfect pass in between the two defenders. That was a beautiful and perfect pass by Michael Vick there. And so I think, there's people, I've heard some say that this guy is looking like, I believe it was Jason Whitlock, saying this guy is looking like a Steve Young out there, you know, with the mix of running and passing. I mean, he was 16 for 24, 175 yards, and he single-handedly brought the team back. My only thing is, and I didn't get a chance to say this to Beasley or discuss this with Beasley, and I said it earlier in the show, this is not a playoff team. Looking at their schedule, you got the Colts, you got the Vikings on the schedule. I mean, they just played the Packers here. And then they have you got to look at the division that they're playing in. The division not as good, but, you're more likely you're going to split with the division. You also have, the Colts, the Titans, the Texans, the Vikings on the schedule. So I'm saying my point is with the schedule that they have and with the team that they have, I just can't see. I can't see them making it to the playoffs with Vic, Cobb, or anybody else. But my thing is, with the way Michael Vick played, and how
I told you that earlier, Paul. But you're wrong. I mean, I'm telling you, you're wrong there. With Vic, they can easily. I mean, you can. I'll even tell you. I'll say it. You can almost guarantee yourself they're in the playoffs with a guy like Michael Vick, because
even with the schedule, even with some of the schedule I just talked about.
Paul, but they were winning that game first game of the season. They were winning that game with that Michael. With that Michael Vick, because here's why, Paul. That was the Michael Vick, and that was what I do agree with Beasley Reese. That's the Michael Vick that played in Atlanta. You know, that's the guy you're getting. Sure, because of now, you haven't even scratched the surface when you look at Jeremy Maclin and DeSean Jackson and Brent Salick. He never had that in Atlanta, Paul. He did not have those three people with him. I mean, he was the sole, really, you know, offensive player, and he took them, you know, to the top of the NFC. You give him two good receivers, what will soon be a Pro Bowl tight end, and LeSean McCoy, I think you're going to have a hard time saying they can't go at least 10-6, 9-7. 9-7 puts them in the playoffs.
Hold on. You're saying 9-7, 10-6. I don't see how that's getting done. Okay, you have the
Well, they're 1-1. Okay, well, they're 1-1 after this week.
Okay, you have the Lions tomorrow. But you go to Jacksonville, a team who beat the Broncos week one and played well. You got Washington, a team who beat the Cowboys week one, who has shown that they have a solid defense and they have Donovan McNabb. You got San Francisco, though they didn't play well week one, but, you know, it's a week-to-week league. But you have San Francisco. It's at San Francisco. I mean, I don't see them winning that game. You got Atlanta comes.
Wait, you don't have to see them winning what game, Paul? You're moving to what game? Aren't they winning?
The Niner game. The Niner game is going to be a tough game.
You're going to San Francisco. Oh, my God.
A national televised game. It's an NBC game, national televised.
Yeah, but who's San Francisco, Paul?
San Francisco is a team that many believe and many project to win the NFC West.
Again,
this is a week-to-week league. You had the Broncos who started last year 5-0 and they didn't even make the playoffs. But anyway, you have the Falcons who come to the link. Again, with Atlanta, a team that struggled week one, but again.
Come on, Paul, if you're looking at Atlanta, look at it fairly and say, but this against Michael Vick.
All right, let's do this. Okay, they'll be 1-1 after tomorrow. Let's say they beat Jacksonville, okay? 2-2. Let's say they lose to Washington. They're 2-2. They were 2-1 after they beat Jacksonville. All right, they go to San Francisco. Let's give them that victory, okay? They're 3-2. Now you got Atlanta, and you go at Tennessee the next 2 weeks. Actually, next 3 weeks, you go Atlanta at Tennessee. You have the Colts, and you go at Washington. So after San Francisco, if you're 2-2, you have a 4-game stretch where I would say you would only possibly win maybe one of those games. Two if you're lucky.
I disagree. First of all, I have them beat with Michael Vick, they're beating the Redskins. You act like the Redskins just because they have Donovan McNabb who's you're trying to marry that man. We're praying for you, Paul. I mean, I hope you go on a retreat because you shouldn't be trying to marry a man. But I think you really are underestimating this Michael Vick in this Eagle offense based on like what McNabb was able to do last year. You forget, Paul, the only thing that really kept the Eagles down last year had nothing to do with offense. It was defense.
I agree with you, but if you look at the schedule last year, they didn't beat a team that made the playoffs. They won 11 games against 11 teams that did not make the playoffs. So I agree with you, but if you look at this schedule this year's schedule, it's a lot tougher. I mean, So my thing is, since they have a tougher schedule,
How's it tougher when I'm telling you with Michael Vick? They're sweeping. Let me finish. They're sweeping the Redskins. They're sweeping the Giants because the Giants look horrible.
Sweeping the Giants.
They're going to split with the Cowboys.
Okay.
They're going to win next week. They win in San Francisco. Right there, 7 wins.
Okay, you got 7 wins? All right,
just
so
pick 2, Paul. Just pick 2. Go on, pick 2.
You still have the Colts. You still have
Paul, Houston won one game. They're already Super Bowl champions. They won one game,
They're Super Bowl champions, but they beat the team that went to the Super Bowl last year.
Week one is a meaningless week for a team like the Colts. If anything, the Colts may have very easily went into that game. Again, you know, even though there is Peyton Manning, they could have very easily overlooked, a pretty good Texans team. But certainly, Paul, let's keep in mind. I mean, this is the Colts, and then they're the Texans.
But I understand that. But let's see. They were impressive in their victory over the Colts last week. And my point is, you're going they're coming to Philly, but you're not going to. I don't think you're going to beat the Texans. I look at the schedule, Cobb, Vic, or what have you. With Vic, maybe they'll win 7 games, but with Cobb in the lineup, they're winning 5 to 6 games, 8 at the most. 8 at the most with both players in the game. So my point is, you invested all this money into Kevin Cobb. You got to see what he has. He may have a lot. He may have nothing. And if he has nothing, Michael Vick, 30 years old, 28 in football years, if you have that, you have that situation, then maybe Michael Vick becomes the guy that you build this thing around. And offensively, with the talent they have on the offensive side of football, that's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. But if you look at the way this offensive line is not great. I mean, you're missing Jamal Jackson, one of the big leaders of that line. He's going to be out a 40 year. And so that messes things up now. And so I just think right now, man, in terms of if it's about this year, then Michael Vick is your starting quarterback. But if you're about building this thing for the future and building this thing over the long haul,
I was surprised that Beasley Reese says, you know, that they really, it would be Michael Vick that they would choose or they should choose. I mean, I think at the end of what Beasley said is maybe more in line with some form of a compromise for me, which is, well, you're going to keep them both as long as they could stay. And the bottom line, too, is, Paul, if Vick has this kind of season where he is going to wind up playing 15 to 20 plays a game, you can guarantee yourself there's no chance the Eagles can resign him next year because the open market will be boundless for him.
Well, and there may be a lockout next year, but we'll see how the CBA and how they clean all that stuff up. But
there will be no lockout.
You're right. I mean, the market for Mike Vick is going to be off the charts. And I think a lot of teams right now are kicking themselves. Probably maybe San Francisco after the way Alex Smith looked in week one. And a few other teams maybe are kicking themselves for not going after this guy harder and not trying to bring him in because Michael Vick has shown that he still has some good football left in him. And again, 30 years old, 28 in football years. So I just think, I agree with you. Michael Vick, in terms of being the best quarterback on this roster, Michael Vick is the best quarterback on this roster. No argument there. And I agree with Beasley Reese there. And in terms of the coaching staff being enamored with this guy and really liking this guy, I think if you look at the situation, first of all, signing him tells you something, especially coming out of prison, and especially all the negative attention that was brought to him from the dog fighting and all that. But secondly, he had the party situation. Granted, he all things was clear, everything was clear for him. But he was a guy that in a lot of ways could not make a mistake, and he made a minor mistake with that whole party situation, and the team still stuck by him. So that tells you something, I think, and that tells you something that maybe this team sees something in him that some people don't see, and maybe this team knows something that we don't know. But my whole thing is they obviously believe in Kevin Cobb as well because they paid him the $12 million. So these are two guys that, in many ways, this franchise believes in. But Michael Vick is a great insurance policy just in case.
Well, I think the $12 million. Again, I think you heard from Beasley, and it's true. I don't think you're going to get an established quarterback, even someone different than a Donovan McNabb. I don't think you're finding someone as anyone other than a guy like Kevin Cobb or, you know, even lower than him to come in to an offense and know, especially for a season, that you're going to be not the part man. They expect to have Vic on the field and Vic running, 15 to 20 plays of an offense. That's that's 20 to 30% of the offense. But the one thing that I think now I always say I question Paul is what is the Eagles' mission here? Because to play two quarterbacks, everyone knows if you have two quarterbacks, you have none.
Well, they all say that, and that is the old saying. But, Michael Vick, he looked dynamic last week. He really did. But my whole thing, and I wanted to ask Beasley this, are we kind of overreacting because how bad Cobb looked and how great Vick looked?
Yeah.
Are we making that? And
I'll answer it. He looked horrible, Paul.
Right.
I mean, yeah, anyone. Wouldn't you? He looked horrible. How can you say you're overreacting? I mean, anybody would have looked better than Cobb. And I think the biggest problem we have is, and we talked about this all offseason, is we're in Philadelphia, Paul, we're used to a standard of play from a quarterback. And it certainly was not that. And I think you bring that to the table week in and week out. And, yeah, there's going to be a lot of pushback. I mean, I don't think Michael Vick's going to have to do much to salivate, fans to say, this guy is heads and tails. I mean, like, the answer here, sign a long-term deal, because Cobb is doing nothing to even just say, well, at least he made that throw, or look at that decision. There wasn't one.
We got another couple minutes left, but I think Beasley brought something up may go to a larger issue here, and that is the fan base reaction to Michael Vick. Now, is this a fan base that's willing? I think they will ultimately if he plays well, but is this a fan base? Are we a people, not me specifically, but the Philly fan base, that would be willing, not necessarily to forgive this guy, but to get behind this guy?
Yes. Again, let me answer it. Yes. Paul, Beasley... Beasley had money to make, but again, let me answer it for Beasley. Yes, because if he goes out and he especially makes this team a playoff contender, yes. The bottom line is, Paul, Michael Vick is an idiot. We all know that. He's gonna die an idiot.
I will.
But the bottom line is, when it comes to playing football, Paul, anybody that gets convicted of the crime that he gets convicted of and has the off season that he has is an idiot.
Well, he made some mistakes along the way. I'm not quick to call him an idiot.
We have a minute or two to go, so let me make it clear, Paul. A, he's an idiot, and B, the Philadelphia fans will jump on that bandwagon as fast as they can.
Remember
5 years ago, Paul, this was the same city that wanted the Philadelphia Phillies sold, this, that, and the other. It's been 5 years of winning, and we don't even talk about that. We can't talk about the Phillies. All you do is win.
Well, and I'll say this. Michael Vick has made some mistakes in the past, and hopefully Michael Vick has learned from his mistakes. But my thing with Michael Vick is the guy is entitled to a second chance. He got that second chance, and hopefully he'll learn from it. But he
saved Michael Vick.
That's a quarterback. He's been an impressive quarterback, and he's a guy who has done it and shown in this league that he can be productive and lead teams to a playoff. We want to thank Jason Cole, Yahoo Sports writer, for stopping by. We also want to thank Beasley Reese, Sports Anchor, fill in for stopping by. And also, you can listen to past shows and this show at blogtalkradio.com/pgan. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgan. You can also follow the show on GoForItGan at twitter.com. And I want to thank everybody. For Jeremy Espy, this is Paul Gann. Thank you for listening. Continue to listen. See you later.